Let us turn together to the chapter we have read in Acts 20 and take for our meditation today verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. This is the word of God. The reason I'm taking this text is because I was praying and thinking about you all as a vacant congregation, and my mind went through my past experience, and I recalled having been in actually more than one vacant congregation, and it's never an easy time. Of course, it's quite an experience to go through a time like this, and we are always bombarded by many questions and difficult times and experiences, and sometimes we need really, as always, to ask the Lord what to do and how to behave. And so my mind, although a bit unsure at the start, I thought, why should I really speak about office bearers and the church? I mean, I'm not going to cause any difficulty here. I don't want to make any enemies today, but that's not, of course, the reason. I've been through this series of studies for our own congregation, and we found it very encouraging and helpful, of course. So the more I was thinking and praying, the more I would like and pray that the Lord may encourage you all. This is not a message for the elders, obviously, and for those who the like of Paul was addressing here in this text, but it is for us all. It is for the whole of the congregation and for office bearers as well. It is to look to the Lord and ask ourselves, what is the church of God? You see, this passage, you may agree with me, it's renowned as being a very moving passage, and truly it is. It shows the deep bond that Paul had for these believers at Ephesus, for these elders, for these office bearers. And Paul is actually making plain here how loving and close the relationship here was in the Lord Jesus Christ among these people. These brethren, you have noticed at the end, they wept sore because they fell on Paul's neck, because he said that they would see his face no more. So I think throughout this text that we have read, this verse especially, we have three things regarding the church that we are to notice and remember and take encouragement for. And I'll read this portion again for our help. Paul says to these office bearers, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. So these three things are, throughout this text, actually these. You can see that the church is a spiritual work. The church of God is a spiritual work. And secondly, the church of God is a solemn work. It is a serious matter. And finally, the church of God is of most special value. We may be surprised if we go out there and interview most people that declare themselves to be Christians and ask, what is the church? You may sadly have all sorts of answers. But let us focus upon this text and see what the Word of God tells us. It is a spiritual work. You see, Paul says to these men, the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Who is the Holy Ghost? Well, the Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. It is the one who was sent by Christ and the Father. That's what you find in John chapter 15. It's the promise of Christ, his prayer for when he would leave this world. He would not leave his people alone. So it is by the Holy Spirit's guidance, help, and strength that the church of God is able to get through this world, by nothing else. The Holy Spirit will equip, will lead, will sanctify God's people here on earth, and therefore including office bearers and elders and ministers and those who are called to lead the flock. If you read Colossians chapter 4, again Paul is giving the same principle and message, and he says, take heed to the, this is Colossians 4:17, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. It is a spiritual work. So, when a congregation has no minister, it seems they have no clear overseers among them, but there are still a group of elders and office bearers that are called by God to do this spiritual work. And in the kingdom of Christ, to have this spiritual work given, it always will require self-denial. This is true both for the servants who are in the front line, like the office bearers, and both also for each and every believer. The Lord calls us all who are in Christ to take up our cross and daily die to ourselves. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in the first letter, chapter 9, he would say of himself, of his own ministry, he will say this, I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's a clear message for all those who are in the ministry, for all those who are office bearers. How much do you take control of yourself, of the teaching, lest after you have preached to others, you would be a castaway? And as I said, this is true not only although in a big, greater measure, for office bearers and those who are in a leadership position. This is true of all believers, of every child of God. We are called as Christians to live under the control of the Holy Spirit. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That's Romans chapter 8. We are professing Christ. We must be subjected to Him and to His work, to His powerful work of the Holy Spirit. So we cannot live lives that are disordered or under the service of lusts and desires of this world. We are to subject ourselves to the Spirit's work. Somebody said rightly that the body may be made a good servant, but is a bad master. So we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. To be in the kingdom of God, to be part of the church of God, it is showing this work of the Spirit in our own lives. And for this, the Lord has appointed rulers over His church. We have many evidences. I'll give you just few that are so important. In Acts chapter 14, we don't have time to read it, but Acts 14 is giving us the evidence that the apostles then appointed elders in every church. And Paul also instructed Titus, you remember, to complete what was lacking in the church in Crete. Titus chapter 1, "For this cause I left you in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee." This is the will of Christ, that in every church there would be office bearers, elders and deacons, so that this spiritual work will be kept going and overseen. It's not enough that every Christian and every single believer will say, "I've got the Holy Spirit, I will be led of it." It's not enough. Obviously, Christ had to say this through the Holy Spirit. The apostles began this commission to appoint leaders over Christ's church. And this is for obvious reason, for what we read in many epistles as well, that the office bearers are there to be ruling over the church, to have a spiritual rule over this spiritual work. I'll quote you only two. 1 Timothy 5, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." Or Hebrews 13, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief." That's God's will, that in the congregation of the Lord, there will be those who rule over the spiritual work in a spiritual manner to bring glory to God and to oversee the flock of God. These people are called. There are some who are especially called into this office, whether they be ministers who are appointed for the teaching, whether they be office bearers appointing to the ruling of the church. Acts 20 that we have read is clearly pointing to this. They are overseers to feed the church of God. They are called because First Timothy, Paul writing to him will say this in chapter 3. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. So there must be obviously a desire in the heart of some men moved by the Holy Spirit to have this calling of leading and feeding and caring for the people of God. It's not a ruling like a despot, but it is a feeding and caring by the Holy Ghost to oversee the spiritual work of the kingdom of God. So the church of God is a spiritual work that God is doing in this world through the things that we have just said. But secondly, it is a most serious matter. It is a solemn work. And this is underlined by this word that we have read in this text. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed what? To feed some of your friends? No. To feed the church of God. Well, that's serious. That tells us that the church is not a club. It's not an association. It's not anything similar to anything else in this world. The church is the glorious body of Christ. Yes, there is this famous division. The church here on earth is both visible and invisible. What you can see here on earth is not always 100% the true church. But nevertheless, God is calling this church on earth His church. So strictly speaking, the true church of God is made by all those who are truly regenerate, those who have the Holy Spirit, those who are part of the glorious body of Christ, those who have been born again and live under the control of the Holy Ghost. But it's not always plain and clear that we can see this here on earth. The visible church here on earth is mixed. There may be someone who is not truly converted in the visible church. We are to take this as a matter of fact. We look at the 12 apostles, and that was the visible church here with Christ, and yet one was the traitor. You look at the Jerusalem church at the apostolic times, and there you see Ananias and Sapphira, who seemed to be part of the visible church, but they were not true believers. And yet, Paul calls this, here on earth, the church of God. We are to take this seriously, because it is a solemn work given to believers here on earth. That said, it brings to us the obvious conclusion that the church here, the church of God here on earth, is not the one that is designed by church buildings. It's not confined to one denomination. It's not easy pointed out with our own devices and even written creeds. You may find true believers, true members of the invisible church in many denominations in this world. Those who are truly the Lord's are those who are part of his church. And that means the church of God is subjected to its own head, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. We cannot in this world separate precisely and truly all those who are part of the invisible church. We are to take and live in the visible church, and we are to submit ourselves to the head. It is his work to separate at the judgment day those who are not true members. But it is our duty in this world to be part of his church and to examine ourselves to be part of the invisible church, being part of the visible church of God. What matters is for you and me to be in the body of Christ. And the teaching of Christ regarding this, you remember, is using the metaphor of the vine and the branches. He is the true vine. And to be in Christ, it means to be saved. To live in him, it is what makes you surely one of his people. Christ gave the example of the body as well. He is, Colossians chapter 1, he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So, for you all to be part of the body of Christ is what will make you satisfied and useful and at peace of being one of his children. When you read Corinthians, you are told that it doesn't matter if you are the hand or the foot or the eye or the ear. What matters is to be part of the body of Christ. It is to confess the Lord Jesus as your King and Lord and Savior, and to know that you are one of his children, that you are part of his spiritual body. Therefore, you will join a visible church. And according to your conscience, according to your understanding of the creed and of the Word of God, you join a visible church and you do all you can to keep the unity and the glory of God in the church. Christ is the head of his church. It is the church of God is Christ's bride, and it is Christ's flock. It is where he works among and leads his people as a great shepherd. So it's not only a spiritual work and the most solemn work because it's the church of God, but the church has a most special value. You see, Paul here in this text says about the church of God, he says, which he has purchased with his own blood. There is nothing more precious in the universe than the church of God if Christ himself shed his blood for her. You remember Peter writing in his first letter, saying these very important words: you will be purchased by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It is because of Christ's blood shed that you can be part of the church of God. You who are being called, you have been called, you who have been confessing your sins at the cross, and you can be reassured today that you are in the church of God. It is only because of what Christ has done. And that's what you are to be reminded day and after day, again and again, whether you be a member in the church with a very little task, or where you are one of the leaders and office bearers with greater responsibilities. All of you, each one of us, are in the church of Christ because of his blood shed. That's the value. It's not in your skills. It's not in your good behavior. It's not in how much the Holy Spirit has granted you to increase in holiness and love the Lord more. It's nothing of this. You are in the church of God because you have been purchased by his precious blood. That's the payment that has been required by God himself. And that's what you would have never been enabled to pay. That is your Savior. So if you today can profess and praise God and talk to him and be in his presence and live with him, it is because Christ is your Savior, and he has paid and covered for all your sins and has secured heaven for you. Listen to what in Revelation chapter 5 it is said of those who are truly the children of God. They sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." What a vision this is. Sometimes I think we need to look at things, at spiritual things, like just like when we look at a movie taken by one of these drones. Maybe the younger people here are more familiar with drones. You know, these little machines that can fly electronically. They are commanded by distance, and they can fly up and give you a perspective from far above, and you can see the trees, and you can see the roofs of houses, and you can see all the landscape in a different perspective than what you can see when you are walking down on earth. And so it is when God is revealing to you what the church of Christ is, what the church of God truly is. That's what we have in Revelation. Those who are going to praise him for all eternity, those who have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb, and they are there, taken not from Lewis only, but from all nations, from all people of all tongues, Scottish, Irish, Italians, Germans, Chinese, all tongues, all nations, they will be worshiping and praising the Lamb for what he has done, for the glory is his alone. So what are we to think today when the congregation is vacant, when the difficulties ahead are many, when our failures are continually propping up from day to day? We are to remember that the church is of God, that we are his people, that he has purchased us with his precious blood. And if today you are one of office bearer in the church of God, you are there because God has called you and has given you a serious, important work, not to be taken lightly. You are doing this work because God has called you and given you a burden, and you are to do it because He's your master and you want to obey Him and bring honor to Him. And if you are a member of the visible church and you are a true born again believer in Christ today, and you are a member of the visible church without a minister, with many difficulties, with many questions ahead, what are you to do but to love Christ more and seek His face and seek holiness in your life and support and pray for the elders and for the guidance of the visible church here on earth, that the kingdom of God may flourish and be blessed by the King of Kings. And if you are today an adherent to this visible church, what are you to do? Are you to wait, crossing hands, and let days pass by? No, not at all. Because you should look at the invisible church of God and what He has done, and what's the prospect of those who are professing Christ, although failing daily. But you should see and ask God to open your eyes and give you the assurance of eternal life that is granted in Christ and because of what He has done only. You should confess the Lord and ask Him to save you and to make you a sure member of this wonderful spiritual body, which is Christ's body, the bride. And one day you will see His face and praise Him for all that He has done for your soul. May the Lord bless us together. Let us pray.